Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about lawlessness today. Lawlessness, and that's one of the key indicators that we're living in the last of the last days. It is in the eschatological prophetic text of the scripture, found primarily in this sense, in Matthew 24 and verse 12, where the scripture says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Iniquity is the word for twisted, perverted sin. It has the same understanding in that root word in the Greek text as lawlessness. And today that's exactly what we're witnessing, is lawlessness. That's being seen today across America, where we see the thuggery, the vandalism, the rioting take place. And it's not peaceful demonstration. Ladies and gentlemen, I am all for our First Amendment right. Our First Amendment right is something that we all ought to treasure and ought to look at with respect, where the scripture says Congress shall make no laws respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or press or the right of the people to peaceably assemble and to petition government for redress of grievances. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're seeing is not a peaceable assembly. What we're watching across America is not organic. It's not something that just happened because George Floyd's death. It's not something that's just happening. It's something that's planned. It's something that has been developed over the years for the purpose of overthrowing the fundamentals of the United States of America, destroying capitalism, destroying our constitutional republic. And the main operators, the main ones that's carrying out this, ladies and gentlemen, carry with the hashtag known as Black Lives Matter, but it has zip zero, nothing to do with black lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about that which we see happening, where mayors and governors and community leaders ignore the lawlessness and advocate for defunding the police department, and thus it would cause more lawlessness. And ladies and gentlemen, in reading further in this article, police less in Seattle, and we're talking about the Seattle Autonomous Zone, as they've called it, a six-block area, where the thugs have taken it completely over and control it. And one thug, 30-year-old rapper, has taken it over and goes around with an AK-47 on his shoulders. He is the chief dictator of the lawless autonomous zone, as it is called. And as one writer put it, June the 20th of 2020, written by Tony Perkins. And he goes on to say the Democrats giving these people voices, treating them as if they're First Amendment right, law-abiding protesters instead of what they really are, which is shameful. The banner of the Democratic Party, she thinks, has already become no law and order, no order at all, just mayhem. And he goes further with after quoting others, he goes further with the statement in relationship to what is taking place in Seattle. Here's an article that says Atlanta Police Chief resigns amid backlash over fatal shooting of a black man. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the point in America that if it is a racial person, racial problem, if you got a black police officer shooting a white man or a white police officer shooting a black man, all of a sudden the world comes to an end because it's automatically considered to be racism. But ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about lawlessness, and we see the mayors and the governors and the country community leaders that are bowing to this and wanting to defund the police rather than defending the police. When we witness citizens attacking police, throwing rocks and bottles and bricks and firebombs and openly defying law enforcement orders, we're witnessing open rebellion and lawlessness. And then to find this recent few days now where lawlessness is spreading across the nation, and where police departments are absolutely folding up their shop, as I'd call it, and ceasing to carry out the responsibilities. This article says, Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms announced on Saturday that the city's police chief had submitted her resignation just hours after the fatal shooting of a black man who struggled with police during a sobriety test. Now, I've watched the video of that several times. Now, listen to me very, very carefully before I finish reading a portion of this article. That individual that the policeman tried to subdue, tried to place under arrest, tried to handcuff. He scuffled with two police officers, wrestled with them, knocked one down, jumped on top of him, grabbed his taser, took off running with it, and then turned around as he's running and tried to fire it back at the police officers. Now, had that taser hit the police officer, he would have been nullified and his other weapons could have been taken and their lives taken. Now, I'm not trying to be judge and jury on this, but ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. What is a police officer to do when he has to wrestle with someone? Goes back to my preliminary statements early in the broadcast. When I was growing up, I was told you obey law enforcement. You obey your school teacher. You obey law enforcement. If they say something, you say, yes, sir, and you do it. What we're seeing is lawlessness. And ladies and gentlemen, this took place in Atlanta. This article says, Bottom said it was Police Chief Erica Shields' own decision to resign from the role, which she took in 2016, according to Bottoms. She will remain with the city in an undetermined position because of her desire that Atlanta be a model of what meaningful reform should look like across the country. Chief Shields has offered an immediately to step aside as police chief so that the city can move forward with the urgency of rebuilding the trust so desperately needed throughout our communities, Bottom said. Further in the article, authorities maintain that Brooks, that's the one that was shot, this is lawlessness, fighting police, resisting arrest, etc., etc. Brooks grabbed an officer's taser and ran with it. During the news conference, Bottom said she didn't think the use of deadly force was warranted and that she requested the officer involved to be fired. Ladies and gentlemen, how can law enforcement carry out their responsibilities of law enforcement if those in upper brass, as I call it, those that are in charge of the cities, our mayors and our governors, etc., 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 if they view any action of the law enforcement as being that which is reprehensible or wrong and then fires them, how can we expect to have law enforcement in America? This article says, I do not believe that this was justified use of deadly force and have called for the immediate termination of the officers, according to Bottoms. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a question there simply because in the state of Georgia, a taser is not considered deadly force. And so therefore, if this individual, after wrestling with the police, grabbing one of his weapons, which happens to be a taser, runs with it, fires it back, then the thought on the surface is the taser is not a deadly weapon, so therefore the police officer ought not have used deadly force in retaliation or response. Now, that'll have to be hammered out in court. I'm not going to be the judge or jury. But if I had been in that police officer's uniform, or if you had been in that police officer's uniform, it begs to be asked, how would you have responded? You're in fear for your life because you have a blue uniform on and a badge to begin with. How would you respond? We're watching, ladies and gentlemen, the breakdown of morals and ethics and values. We're watching the destruction of the family and the freedoms that we have so cherished for all of these centuries in America. Here's an article that answers some of those questions. Atlanta on edge after cop shoots black man who stole the stun gun at Wendy's, which is now burning to the ground as angry mobs protest. The Atlanta police officer who fatally shot Rashard Brooks has been terminated. Atlanta police spokesman Carlos Campos tells CNN. A second officer involved has been placed on administrative leave, according to Campos. The article further says, how much longer can this go on? Where will it end? America seems to be engulfed by racial riots, protests from coast to coast, and it's even right now raging in France, England, and in many other nations around the world. You really have to hand it to the New World Order elitist when they stage an event, they really do it grand style. Race riots, global lockdowns, cash crashing of the economies, digital IDs, and what possibly could be next, this writer says. And he goes on with several pages of what he sees taking place and what's happening in our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, when we witness citizens attempting to attack the police officers, throwing rocks and bottles and firebombs, openly defying law enforcement, we are in a lawless scenario in America today. The recent shooting of this man in Atlanta was due to open defiance. Listen, I'm not saying now, as judge or jury, the end result of the fate of the law enforcement officer, but I am telling you that it started with a person that was in complete defiance and rebellion and lawless in Atlanta, Georgia. Now the police officer is fired and accused of murder. I don't know what the answer is going to be, but I know the answer is not to defund law enforcement. The answer is not to destroy police departments and shut them down. Ladies and gentlemen, then we have the thugs, Black Lives Matter, openly setting fire to the Wendy's restaurant. That's lawlessness. And we're talking about lawlessness today, ladies and gentlemen. Lawlessness, again, may I remind you, is one of the key indicators of the last days, eschatologically speaking, in the Word of God. Matthew chapter 24, verse 12 reminds us, "And because iniquity," that's lawlessness, "shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Ladies and gentlemen, lawlessness is rampant in our streets today, in America today. In fact, I find it a little disturbing when Christianity Today, the rag magazine that's supposed to represent Christians, I believe they need to take the name Christianity off the magazine. But Christianity Today calls for churches to pay reparations to black people. Repentance, they say, is not enough. This writer that is a stupefied, mushed brain, lost man, my opinion, under the guise of Christianity, writing for Christianity Today, says that repentance is not enough. There must be reparations coming from the Christians, from the churches. Christianity Today is calling for churches to lead the way in biblical restitution for racism, the sin of racism, claiming that repentance is no longer enough. And a new editorial published Wednesday, Christianity Today, labeled slavery as one of America's original sins, adding that the Christian church was silent in the face of slavery and even complicit to that today. Goes further to say many of the same ministers who defended slavery in the antebellum South likewise defended the racist system that followed the Civil War. Ladies and gentlemen, that's simply an untrue, unbiblical, non-Christian statement. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
It'd be tough to discuss any of the stuff without discussing what's just transpired in Atlanta with this Rayshard Brooks. And I feel for his family and their loss in this hour. However, I think it's still criminal on the books in the state of Georgia to be DUI. I think it's also still criminal on the books and to perform battery on a law enforcement officer. I believe it's still criminal to resist and oppose law enforcement with violence. And just the whole situation, you know, that this man should be alive today. Maybe he should have spent the night in jail and have a court date. But because he resisted, because he fought, and by the way, now they're saying he was shot twice in the back, and as you watch the video, he's firing over his shoulder back at the police officer. I'm not saying that things could not have gone differently, but he created the circumstances under which his life was lost, and it's horrible that his life was lost, but he created the circumstances under which that took place. Heretofore, if you commit a felonious act and people die, it's on you. You know, if the getaway driver is there and people die inside the bank, the getaway driver gets charged. You know, if you got any link, any connect criminal act, you're responsible for the horrible things that proceed from it. I think the way we're moving right now, you know, a couple of years back, we pretty well stopped law enforcement from high-speed chases because people would die. Innocent people often did die in high-speed chases. So what do we tell the bad guy? What do we tell the criminal? We said to the criminal, if the police officers chase you, they turn on the lights, just go faster. Because at a certain point, they're going to have to break off their chase. They can't chase you anymore. I believe the state of California moved the criminal element of theft, the petty theft level, all the way up to like $1,000. I think that's the case. And you know what that taught people? Well, my goodness, I could steal whatever I want to up to $1,000. I guess now what we're going to tell police is if people resist and oppose violence, you should just let them go. You should just let them. You can catch up with them later. I mean, that's what it seems like we're headed toward. But I have to also address the fact that right now you have Black Lives Matter and groups like that that are raising massive amounts of money pushing false narratives. Watching an expose on Black Lives Matter and where the money goes to, the contributions go to, as soon as you click on the link to make a contribution, you are giving to act.com, according to this expose, actblue.com, blue meaning Democrats, millions, you explore the site and explore Open Secrets where they identify where the dollars flow, millions flow out of that organization. According to these sites, the federal campaign contributions, $1.057 billion have gone to Democrat campaigns this year and outside, you know, contributions to support them. You know, the Bernie Sanders campaign was supported to the tune of $6 million, according to this. You can't just make that contribution to the campaign. You have to be doing outside expenditures on behalf of the campaign or on behalf of the candidate. Pocahontas supposedly had $93 million spent on her behalf. You know, Sleepy Joe Biden supposedly had $119 million spent on his behalf. We're finding out that this Black Lives Matter group and groups like it, they're kind of the militant fundraising arm of the Democratic Party.
Yes.
Once you see it in that light, these things are horrible. I hate that individuals have lost their lives. By the way, George Floyd ought to be alive today. But he didn't encounter a bad system. He apparently encountered a horrible person and a really bad cop. Do not equate a bad cop that apparently had a personal knowledge of, relationship with, an angst or anxiety, upset, whatever, against George Floyd. Don't equate him with the over 700,000 good police officers across America doing their jobs and risking their lives. And the stats still bear out a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed in the line of duty than a black man unarmed killed by law enforcement. I mean, you are in this country, you are more safe with police officers than you are with lightning, because it's more likely that you are killed by lightning than killed as an innocent person by a police officer. Let's just put things into perspective. And when you burn down a Wendy's and you burn down a Walmart and you burn down the local Walgreens, you've done damage to the community. These massive, by the way, I have to sidestep. Walmart, I believe, is one of the many companies that has offered like $100 million toward Black Lives Matter and other groups like that. I mean, you wonder, where did that $1 billion plus come from? Well, Walmart, I guess they're virtue signaling now. I'm not sure what's going on. Either it's virtue signaling or perhaps it's extortion. I don't know. But these chaotic times have to be seen for what they are, and tons of this is purely political strategy.
Goes back to lawlessness, Greg. It is a total lawless society that we're watching today. How can you explain the destruction of our historical monuments, the history of the nation, being destroyed? You go back to the book of Joshua, the 4th chapter, the first 6 verses, and you'll find that when they crossed the river, they were told to put stones there as a monument so that in the future generations, when their kids and their kids' kids would ask, what are those stones for, you could tell them what history had taken place there at that point. That's the purpose for monuments. I've said many, many times, you can go across America and you find the different monuments for Martin Luther King. You find Martin Luther King Boulevards, Martin Luther King Plazas, Martin Luther King's bust, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, across America. I happen to know multitudes of things back in the 60s that was totally adamantly differentiating with anything that were called spirituality, Christianity, and or Americanism that was coming out of his mouth that he was doing, with multitudes of the things. I've never had in mind that we ought to go out, deface or destroy or remove any of the monuments recognizing that era. But yet we find that taking place in America today, and that's total lawlessness. When you see gigantic statues and gigantic monuments being removed and toppled, one of them very recently where a young man was toppling the monument and it fell over and crushed his head, he's in the hospital, and yet CNN said it was so sad that as a bystander was watching this take place that the monument fell on him. He wasn't a bystander. He had a rope around it pulling it down. That's total lawlessness. And what our listeners need to understand is it is antithetical to anything that's called spirituality, Christianity, or a central biblicist worldview that will allow a Christian to participate and take part in and or to agree with Black Lives Matter and what they're doing. Black Lives Matter is carrying out nothing more and nothing less than cultural Marxism. Cultural Marxism. Unlike regular Marxism, as we'd call it, cultural Marxism focuses on economic inequities and economic classes, and cultural Marxism sees culture as the main cause for many different kinds of inequities. It's what we're seeing taking place.
Yes. The cultural Marxism, Marxism has at its core something that sounds really, really nice, really, really sweet. From each according to his ability, to each according to his need. Okay, but how perverse is that when a society, a culture, a government cannot identify true need? It's horrible at identifying true need. You have individuals that are literally just derelicts and leeches, but they get things from government on an everyday basis that other individuals have to work 40 hours a week for.
Yes.
So again, it sounds really good, but it goes really sideways. Well, within cultural Marxism, we automatically skin color say that you are either an oppressor or you are oppressed, and that leads to such twisted and perverted things. I'll again say that Kamala Harris, that was running for president, her family owned slaves there in Jamaica. However, today she would act as though she is a put upon descendant of slaves. I mean, it's everything gets out of kilter. When we start immediately, by virtue of the fact that you happen to be white, where did you come from? Did your family ever own slaves? No, none of those questions come into play. It's just cultural Marxism, by virtue of the fact that you are white, you are an oppressor. And, of course, that makes it okay for other people to victimize you because, hey, you're an oppressor. Think about that. Once you demonize a person, once you dehumanize a person, it's very easy to do harm to that person, and it becomes okay. It seems to be okay in Chicago, okay in L.A., okay in Atlanta to be destroying people's businesses, assaulting, battering people, killing people because I guess you're oppressed. These folks are, I don't know how you can get much more twisted, but it seems to me the Democratic Party is fully in support of the lawlessness and of the chaos today. I think they have a November objective. I hope, I pray that it blows up in their face, that it bounces back on them, that the lawless seen for what it is by the masses. I'm seeing one person after another wake up to this reality, and they go, why aren't they doing anything? Why aren't they stopping this? When the Chicago mayor is literally holding law enforcement back, you know, when Ray's talking about cutting $150 million from their law enforcement budget, I mean, what signal are you sending to the lawless? And
that's
by
right.
the way,
in
these
fact,
folks that are
fact,
doing
Greg,
this, by and large,
perhaps
some
you're
Republicans,
familiar with the
but
fact
mostly
that,
Democrats, are lawless.
That's right. You perhaps are already aware, and perhaps our listeners may or may not be, that about 600 law enforcement officers, police officers in New York City have already said they're going to retire early. Several dozen of them have already just turned in their badges. In Seattle, Washington, about 47, I believe it is, retiring early, and about 14 or 15 simply walked in and said, here's my badge and here's my gun. But, Greg, one of the things that I believe that we need to recognize is the lawlessness factor is as a result of what is taking place, and the blue lives, that is police officers, seem to not matter at all. And cultural Marxism through Black Lives Matter, and as one writer put it, Black Lives Matter is simply a pretext. David Horowitz said Black Lives Matter emerged as a national presence in the years 2014-15, declaring war on America's law enforcement agencies. Black Lives Matter activists made headlines occupying America's streets, targeting racially integrated and even majority-minority police forces, etc. He goes on to talk about the start of Black Lives Matter and what they're doing and who their icons are. And all of the icons of Black Lives Matter happens to be the socialist Marxists that are absolutely antithetical to anything that will be called constitutional Americanism. Greg, what is going to happen if we continue to perpetuate this feeling that somehow you close down the law enforcement, you shut them down, and we're going to have a safer America? What's the answer to that? Colonel Allen West talks about it in one of his writings. He talks about the desecration of the Confederate monuments, and he says history is not there for you to just like or dislike it. It's history. And he goes on to talk about that, but yet we find Nancy Pelosi standing in the Rotunda Statuary Hall in the Capitol, and she's saying 11 of those statues need to be removed because that represents racism. Greg, we've got about a minute and a half left. I want you to take this minute and a half and talk with us about where we're headed as America if we continue to defund police officers, what will take place if we have continued the lawlessness, and should these monuments be taken down, or should there be some intervention from the federal government that refuses to allow the states and the cities to remove them?
Listen, I hear some people, and sometimes they're well-meaning. I hate to say it. They're also very ignorant. I've said this many times. Everybody in this culture, everybody in this community, everybody on earth is born ignorant. At any age, you have to try really hard to stay ignorant. Nancy Pelosi, in Statuary Hall, the 100 statues that wrap the area, two from are chosen to represent that state there. If those states choose that they want to replace those with other monuments, that's great. I'm tired of the ignorant people that say, oh, there's a place for this and in a museum and all, and maybe we need to make them disappear. I think, sadly, Jacksonville, Florida had one of those monuments today in the Park of Night. Why in the world, if it's important enough that our fathers, our grandfathers, our great, all the way back in our culture and society, not leaving women out, our society chose to spend money and place monuments, leave them alone. They were important yes. enough then, we should have that historical perspective. And don't anybody give in to this shakedown. There was a book written years ago about Jesse Jackson and the shakedown artist that he was. He would go and extort business after business after business. Don't give in to the shakedown. And certainly, I challenge every search the scripture. If you call yourself a believer, search the scripture and see how these things play in the light of scripture. We're each one, even at the foot of the cross. Cultural yes. Marxism does not fit in scripture.
Yes. Thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them, 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.